Good morning and welcome to Mondays with Miles. Today, Dr. Brand and I are going to talk about the issue of graduate transfers, which Division I membership enacted an override at the recent NCAA convention and said that graduate students, students who have received their undergraduate degrees, cannot go to a new institution for a year and finish their eligibility. Dr. Brand, what are your thoughts on this override and the issue in general?
It was interesting at the convention in which the democratic process was enacted, was overwhelmingly against the transfers. That was a bit of a surprise. The concerns on the part of the athletic directors, reflecting the coaches especially, and the football and basketball coaches were speaking out about this most strongly, is that it creates free agency. That it's possible thousands of youngsters over a several year period could transfer after getting their degrees. And they were afraid that the recruiting would begin while they were still juniors or even sophomores in school, trying to attract people away from teams, one team to another. You know, my own view is that this is exaggerated, that we only saw about 25 transfers this past year, and most of them were harmless, if you like. There were a few of elite athletes, but not most of them, and those that did transfer did it for academic reasons, legitimate reasons. So I think the fear is exaggerated. There is some merit to those concerns, but probably not as much as the athletic directors reflected and the coaches did as well. Interestingly, we've taken a different perspective on this. We have a waiver process, and what the NCAA is going to do is going to look very carefully at that waiver process. And for any individual who has legitimate academic reasons to transfer after graduating and still having eligibility, we will grant it. So we may be getting the best of both worlds, Josh, that will stop any free agency that might be there, but also anyone who has legitimate academic reasons, they finished up in 4 years, they redshirted or got hurt 1 year, and they have another year of eligibility left, and they want to leave because they have a better opportunity in a graduate program at a different school, or their current school doesn't have that graduate program. In that case, we will grant the waiver and we will be quick about it. So I think we might be getting the best of both worlds, where we can halt the free agency, so to speak, but also respect the academic concerns of the students.
Many of the coaches who spoke out about the issue may very well, in fact, be some of the same coaches who would leave a school because they've got a better contract offer on the table from another place or from the National Football League or a professional league in another sport. They don't need a waiver process to drop out of their contract. How come our student athletes will need this?
Well, we treat coaches and students differently, of course. Some are enrolled in degree programs. Coaches are employees. I think that comparison on the face may sound right, but they're really very different categories of people. So that's not where I would go for the answer. What I'd be concerned about is that if we have student-athletes who really are good students and want to pursue a graduate education elsewhere, but yet enjoy playing sports, we don't want to take away that opportunity from them to play somewhere else, provided that the reason they're moving is not for more playing time or they didn't like their coach, but because of academic reasons. And as I mentioned, I believe we'll be able to react to that favorably and quickly.
Quickly, I did want to get back to that democratic process you referenced. The override was enacted at the Division I level, but Division II voted that this was an acceptable practice. So here we have one division saying, no thank you, we're going to rely on waivers, and we have another division saying, yes, this is fine for our student athletes. Why the difference? Why is this acceptable?
Well, first of all, each in the federated system, the NCAA, each division enacts its own rules, and rarely do they diverge, but they did in this case. I think what it speaks to is amongst the Division I coaches and athletic directors a greater anxiety about having a level competitive field. They look at this on a national basis, and they look at the movement of student-athletes, elite student-athletes between schools in a very different way than at Division II, which looks at it more regionally and is less concerned about students transferring than is Division I. So I just think the anxiety level of a competitive level playing field is stronger in Division I, and that's why it came out the way it did.
Speaking of anxiety levels, I'm going to quote from an email I received from a parent, a father of a women's basketball student athlete at Brown University. Michael Goldberg writes, "This proposal dealt with redshirt kids, many of whom, by injury, found themselves out a year. Any athletes not injured or redshirted by decision can currently jump ship to another school anytime before their 4 years are up and simply sit out a season before finishing up in a new school. As far as my daughter's case goes, she will finish her undergraduate degree on time at Brown and will then be applying elsewhere for grad school, as Brown is limited in their graduate programs. So this parent was concerned that his daughter might not be able to play that extra year because Brown, as great as an undergraduate institution is, may not have what she's looking for to continue her education.
Well, first of all, I think Brown's a great university. It has wonderful graduate programs, maybe not in his daughter's area,
right,
but it's a fine institution, and many people would be happy and pleased to be able to go there. Having defended Brown, which I visited for a year as a philosophy professor, I should tell you, I think in cases like this, we really have to make sure that there's the young woman applies for a waiver. If it is the case, as the father describes it, that there is no appropriate graduate program for her there, but she needs to go somewhere else, we should not limit her last year of eligibility and be able to take advantage of it. But you have to make the case on academic grounds. If you really can make that case, we will grant the waiver.
Let me ask, and I know nothing about this student-athlete's academics or anything along those lines, but you have to apply as well to get into graduate programs. Conceivably, a student-athlete could be an undergraduate somewhere and not be accepted into a graduate program at the same institution, maybe gets accepted somewhere else and has that remaining year of eligibility. Would that be a time when we would enact this waiver process again?
Yes, I think that's a very good example. We're most interested in making sure that the student-athletes have the academic opportunities without having to give up their eligibility. So in these cases, yes, we will look at that. If it's a genuine case and you've got to apply, you're exactly right, and you do that in an honest and good faith way, and you don't get into graduate program in your home institution, but you get into another graduate program in another institution of the same kind, why should we deprive a student of that opportunity? So we will grant those waivers, and again, we will be quick about it so that no one loses any time in terms of entering graduate school. Again, this might be the best of all possible worlds in Division I, given the anxiety people have of the free agency. We'll make sure that that doesn't happen and should satisfy the coaches and the ADs and others who might want to take advantage of the situation just for playing time and not for academics, and then they're stuck. They better choose their original college very carefully, and they're stuck. But if there are genuine academic reasons where you've graduated in 4 years and you have a year left of eligibility, we will process those.
All right.
But they do need to apply.
Okay. Well, I will pass this along to Mr. Goldbarg. And for all of you listeners, anytime you have a question such as this or a comment, please send it our way. And Dr. Brand and I will discuss it on an upcoming edition of Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brand, thank you.
Thanks, Josh.